This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome D-Tech Smith and Steve Mix. You are now entering
the MegaCast.
What's up, Ted?
Woo!
Recording. You are listening to the MegaCast.
Oh, yeah.
This is the full episode, as opposed to last time. Yes. All right, well, that concludes this episode. Thanks for listening. Follow us at the MegaCast.
Boom.
Kidding. Come on. We couldn't do that to someone. Watch this. This freaking computer's going to do something and just... Before we went on the air. It's so cool that we have people that listen, but the times that I find out we have listeners are usually when there's massive egg on my face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like text upon text, tweets, direct messages. Hey, guys, hate to break it to you. 5-minute episode. I'm like, I remember because usually, just to give a peek behind the curtain, we record the episode. And obviously, we've been having technical issues. Like, it's ridiculous. But this is just like even more ridiculous. We do the episode. I'm like, I got to hurry. I upload it, pop it up there, and then I close my computer. Because yeah. I'm like, I got to go get my oil change. I got some stuff to do for the house and all this. I need to leave at this exact time or I'm screwed. And usually when I upload the podcast, I at least stick around so I can go to the website, click play, and hear it start, and then and also see how long it is. So I kind of have an idea. Okay, everything's good. So I do try and cover our asses. The one time I haven't done that was last week. And what happens? We have a 5-minute episode, even though we did like 35, 40 minutes.
What was just funny is like Stevie and around Seattle. I mean, they were, and I love that they're waiting for it, but they were just on it quick.
Yeah.
And then I was telling Migs this before we started. I go, another guy, I'll leave his name out, but I guess he had a day off or something. So then he sends me a DM, like, I think at like 1:30 or whatever. And he's just like, hey, man, I'm really stoned. Like, am I losing my mind or is this podcast like 5 minutes? And I was like, chill out. I get where your head's at. You're not losing your mind.
And that person was Luke Wilson. No, I'm kidding.
Luke is on the team, right?
Last I heard.
Yeah, it's so weird with like NFL football starting, but like there's no preseason games. They just put on pads. So I'm like, are the rosters the same?
Yeah. Are they having more guys on the roster in case there's like COVID issues? Do we know? I don't know.
I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you saw like the Brooklyn Nets. They ended up making the playoffs after the 3 weeks in the bubble, but they had to like call up guys from the D League because they had guys hurt and then like a couple people opted out. So they were like,
no.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Man, Brooklyn, okay, I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm a little biased, but their alternate jersey is the coolest jersey ever. The graffiti.
Oh, yeah.
With the BKLYN one, yeah. Or they also have the Bed-Stuy one.
The Bed-Stuy one, I love.
That was for Biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is crazy, though, because everything I see Bed-Stuy now, it is the most gentrified ass.
Bro, it's weird for me, because I grew up going to Bed-Stuy a lot. Like, you know, my brother would, like, help out one of our neighbors with construction stuff, and then he would bring me along in the summer.
All right.
And it was always in Bed-Stuy that they were doing. They were probably getting buildings ready to turn it into a place that they would kick out everybody and make it gentrified. But like, that was where I was a lot of summers. And it was fun because I got to be with my brother and these, like, cool, like, mafioso kind of Italian, like construction guys. I'm like, yeah, this is rad. Like, we're hanging out. Everyone, like, the area was fine. Like, we were in, like, everything was cool. But it was still, like, kind of scary at times because like there was some like shady stuff going on. It was a tough neighborhood.
Yeah. And I mean, I've never been there in my life, but I only know it from being such a Biggie fan.
Right. Right. What Biggie sang about, that was Bed-Stuy.
Yeah.
That was like when that was the era that I grew up in Bed-Stuy. Right. So I've only known it as that. And then I go home and it's like, you know, you go visit like Williamsburg, also gentrified. That used to not be a very good neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's like the hipster capital of the world. And then Bed-Stuy is like just a booming area as well. And I'm like, wow,
Dude, same thing happens. Trippy. Yeah, like when I went back fall for my 20th reunion, mm-hmm. like high school, same thing. Not college. I'm old.
Right. I'm not that old yet.
Same thing like Riverdale and like parts, like they have a whole area now called like Riverdale. Is it like Riverdale Park or Riverdale something? But it's just insane. And you drive through this old part of Hyattsville where like all the football coaches used to go drink at this one bar that was like the epitome of a dive bar. And now, of course, it's like, oh, yeah, they have the best tacos. It's like a tapas. And I'm just like, what? What happened? Like, what did I hear? Right. I'm telling you.
You want the best artisan pizza, you go over to Riverdale.
And I'm telling you, man, I know South Park talked about it, but you know things have changed when the Whole Food shows up.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
Like, I keep saying, Sid, the day Puyallup is actually, like, you know, a major player is the day that the Whole Foods comes.
There's not one in Puyallup yet?
Not yet. I feel like
I am shocked.
Right? I feel like we're on the verge of that.
You got a Trader Joe's?
Nope. We got to go to Tacoma for both of them.
No. Man, I was about to curse.
Yeah.
That shocks me. Puyallup, I forget. Puyallup is freaking huge.
It's blowing up. As far as, like, towns.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're building upon building, and, like, there's a ton of stuff going on there, but, like, that's two of the places. Like, in a way, I'm happy because we'd go broke, because that's, like, those are my wife's favorite spots to go grocery shopping. But, yeah, Trader Joe's is actually pretty, affordable.
Yeah.
And they've got some, like, great food there, but, like, Whole Foods, look, I love Whole Foods, but it's, like, you're going to go broke in that place.
Yeah, whole
like,
paycheck.
Yeah, it's the Mercedes-Benz of grocery stores.
Yeah, dude. I mean, when I lived in Belltown, I used to stop in there all the time and just spent so much, and not even just like on groceries, but I would just go in there and get like coconut rice, like get something from the hot bar.
The hot food there, yeah.
Yeah.
The teriyaki there is good. The pizza is phenomenal. the pastries are great. The baked goods. Oh, God, I'm so hungry.
I know. I got to stop.
Why don't we get our push-ups in? Let's just try and get on. And, you know, maybe this week we won't be a Mark would be a Stan account that we've been for the last several times.
Hey, you were on it. Like, yeah. I had heard that song that morning, but then you played it on here.
Oh, the Racism Sucks one?
In the afternoon, like, my whole Twitter feed was blowing up. Iced Tea, I mean, everybody. And I was like, God, Migs is so freaking smart when it comes. Like, because I listened to it, but I didn't think, oh, we should put it on the podcast. Steve, that's where you're much better than I am.
Boom. Well, that's why I wrote a peanut butter and jelly and podcast.
Hey. You know what? We used to have jobs in Santa.
Sometimes we got
peanut butter and jelly.
Peanut butter and jelly and podcast.
Man. And I'm the classic grape.
Thank you. That was like a conversation my wife and I had to have. Because she was making me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but she was making me like this peanut butter and some strawberry jam you get at Williamsburg or Ravensdale. And it was just like, or Riverdale, sorry. Yeah. You know, like some fancy foo-foo schmoo-schmoo jelly. And I'm like, this is good. Don't get me wrong. I really like this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But to me, jelly is grapes, Concord, jelly.
Well, yes. Dude, real quick, and then also we'll
do the time. Unless the episode ends, I don't know.
Cobb and I, the first time we went to Burning Man, anybody that's taken this certain route will know Cedarville, California. There's like a gas station, like one, even the hotel that was there was an old ranch house.
Right.
He's like a bunkhouse. So I think that's gone. I mean, this is a small town, but I remember we went in the store and we were laughing and joking, but we got in a whole argument about grape jelly. He's like, you got to get jam and this and that. And we're like yelling, and he's like, no, man, like jelly's just fake and this and that. I was like, peanut butter jelly has grape jelly on it.
Yes.
That's how it works.
It's not like, called grape jam.
There's just like some mom and her kid working there. They're just dying laughing at us.
I do like Smucker's.
Yeah.
Like, and like an IHOP or a Denny's when you get the, I get sourdough toast with my breakfast.
So do I.
This is why we do this.
Sourdough. I'm like, there's other great breads, but sourdough's the king.
Right. And then they give you that little handler of all the grape, all the jellies.
Oh, yeah.
And I just find the grape one. I don't even know what else they have in that thing.
I ain't even looking.
I just look purple and grab them all.
You got a homemade jam? I'll mess with it.
Yeah, I'm not going to say no to it. All right, let's get the push-ups.
Oh, I like this one.
Felt like this is good for the summer.
Yeah.
Here we go, Ted. Let's get 10, Mega Family, to get the heart racing, the blood pumping, and the brain
functioning.
All right, here we go. Oh, boy. I worked out chest yesterday. It's a bad idea.
Nice.
Here we go. One, two, three, four, five, six. So sore.
Yeah, I did about an hour ago.
Oh, we're going to have to talk about that probably after the TED Talk. Ted, I've become a gym bro. I'm working out with somebody at the gym.
Oh, nice.
Just doing the hanging with the fellas.
Oh.
Clanging and banging.
You got your spaghetti string tank top?
You know it.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
Well, that leads me right into this week's TED Talk. Steve has new friends. He's turning into gym bro. Somebody last night had some kind words for me. They were talking about listening to the podcast, one of the first ones they did, and then I was on their podcast.
Cool.
Yeah, right? Super cool. So today's TED Talk is just like, if you're thinking about trying something, go for it. Now listen, I'm not saying you've never been hiking and you're going to go do a Rainier, but
I challenge you. Right? Do it or you're a puss.
Right? Find something easy, somewhere to start. You know what I mean? Just kind of get the ball rolling a little bit. I don't know. Maybe you don't know how to swim. Maybe take a swim lesson. Maybe you're trying to fix something in your diet or whatever it is. Like, everything starts with that first little initial small step. So just go for it.
I like that, man. Yeah. It's important. You got to keep the brain moving. And I think the brain works best when it's being challenged.
Yeah, and I think it's easier, especially, like, you know, as I approach 40, you, like, look back at stuff, and it's like, geez, man, I think I'm in better shape at 40 than I was probably at 30.
Oh, no, you are.
Yeah, but as you get older, you kind of look at this stuff, and it's like, I should have done it. Well, I can't live in the past. So it's like, all right, so doing this, doing that, and especially, like, I know a lot of people that are like, man, I wish I could do that. It's like, trust me, you can. You can make that hike.
That's the thing, I think, that we stop ourselves so often because we're like, I'm 45 and I shouldn't be doing this. Or people are going to, like, I feel it in wrestling all the time. Am I just like this old guy that people are just humoring? And it's like, no, like, I'm putting that weird, like, restriction on me, not them.
Yeah.
For the most part, a lot of them, when they find out how old I am, they're like, dude, I thought you were like mid to late 30s, man. Like, I hope I'm doing what you're doing at the point of your age. Like, not to make me feel like I'm old, but you know, that's quite the compliment.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I would have never thought, oh yeah, I'd be actively still wrestling in my mid 40s. Hell, I didn't even start until I was 40.
Right? Like, I started playing outdoor soccer in my late 30s.
Right.
Right. I played last year, was like 38, 39. I was like, all right, I'll start this.
But you hear so often, so many people are just going to be like, don't do that. Aren't you a little old for that? When are you going to grow up? And it's like, those are the people that just defeat themselves before they even give themselves a chance.
Yeah. And also, on the same token, maybe you already have an awesome routine. I mean, it doesn't just have to be about fitness. Maybe you need to try something else, too.
Because I do. It's funny because
try bowling. I don't know.
I feel like we could do this music for the entire podcast. I feel like we're way more important.
I did right? feel pretty good.
Like, I felt like every sentence needed to end with some kind of, like, important thing that I needed to say to you, Ted, in order for you to do what we're talking about.
Maybe it's something simple. You never shotgun a beer? Well, goddammit, you shotgun that beer.
You take that key, you poke a hole in the bottom of that beer can, you put it up to your mouth, and then you click it open.
Now I just want to go eat chocolate beers.
All right, thanks for listening to the Megacast.
Spike the can. Don't be a wuss.
So remember all of your friends along the way.
I also like how it stopped, like a buildup. I was like, now I feel like we're in a comic book.
My heart's racing faster than it was when we did the push-ups. Okay. What's the name of the podcast that you're on? Give it a plug.
I think it's just Captain America.
Wait, Steve Rogers interviewed you?
Damn it. No. Oh, man, I really should.
I'm a douche. I should ask questions that you might not know answers to.
Well, right. Like, I know the guy he had me on. I did it last night. Now I'm just like, wait a minute. What was?
I'm sure you'll put it on your Twitter.
Yeah, he'll tag. I was like, make sure you tag me.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not up yet.
No.
Oh, then don't worry about it. When it's up, God, we'll promote it.
Also, sorry, I just had to open my Instagram to see it. And one of the cricket guys I follow, Chris Gayle, he's just on a private jet eating, I think, a Whopper and a glass of champagne.
Oh, he looks so happy. Yeah. I get that. I get that feeling of happiness. I had a double Whopper last night.
Oh, no kidding.
I've never had one before.
Either have I.
It's a game changer.
That's a big burger.
It's a huge burger, and it's worth it, man.
Mm.
Like, if you feel like you've put in the work one day and you earned the calories, let's just say, get the double Whopper. It's so good. It's dude. I have to say, like, I've been every once in a while I get a Whopper, and it's such a great burger. I tried getting like another burger from another fast food place, and I just felt dirty. You know what I mean? Like, greasy and dirty. There's something about that Whopper, man. It tastes It tastes great.
Yeah, I was never a huge Whopper guy. I was always a double cheeseburger guy at Burger King. But then, like, a couple months ago, we were taste testing the Whopper versus the Impossible Whopper. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, either, like, the Whopper's just good.
It is.
But as a kid, I think it was too many veggies, and I didn't understand the complexity of the Whopper.
Well, you know what? I get it without onions and tomatoes.
Oh.
Problem solved, Ted. Problem solved. Don't need those veggies.
They say get it your way, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of their whole thing.
I test them on that every single time I go, and they never fail me. Where's that music again? So, yeah, I had it because, you know, I felt like I earned it being a good dude. So my buddy.
Yeah, I wonder about this gym rat stuff.
So my buddy Damon, I've talked about him before. He's the guy that did the whole, like, he was helping me trying to get, like, you know, jacked and tan.
All right.
And so, like, he recently started going to a similar gym that I go to. And I noticed that he posted a picture of that. And I was like, dude, you're going to that gym? Like, that's my gym. And he goes, we should work out together. And I was like, okay. And so then. It was the other day. I was like, okay, I'm going to meet up with you. We're going to work out together. He goes, make sure you have lots of carbs and salt. I'm like, what are you going to do to me? So I've never done squats, like, with weights, like front squats or back squats. I'm afraid of injuring myself. And I'm not that guy that wants to ask for help at the gym. I usually learn whatever I learn how to do. I learn it either from my wife or from friends or from YouTube tutorial videos.
Yeah.
And I typically go with the exercises that are pretty hard to hurt yourself with. You know, unless you go too extreme. Like your basic chest stuff, bicep stuff, triceps and shoulders. Like I keep it pretty simple and a little back as well, you know. But I don't ever really F with the idea of putting a weights on my shoulder and going down into a squat position. So we do those on one of the days, and it was fun. Like, he tested me, pushed me a little bit, taught me how to do them properly, and I was like, that was cool. Although he got a talking to from the gym, like, hey, man, you can't do private lessons here. And he's like, not. He's like, no, we saw you working with Steve, because they know me there, and he's like, yeah, he's my friend. I'm not charging him. Like,
they really called him out?
Well, apparently he did the same thing with one of his brother later on that night. So when they noticed he was there, like, a couple times, like, you can't be doing private trainings. He's like, everyone's my friend. Like, I don't understand what you're talking about. And then he's like, I get what you mean. I can understand why it looked that way. But I don't know how else to prove it to you other than to tell you these are my friends and my family. And I'm just doing it because I like helping. And so do all that, which was fine. And then do the next day. Of course, my hamstrings are on fire.
Your hamstrings and then just going my up butt. And down the stairs, right? That little connection. I'm touching it right now.
Yeah.
Like, right where your butt sits on your legs.
And this is like 2 days past. And it's never the next day. It's always that second
day.
Oh, dude, getting out of my car this morning. If I drop. Of course, I'm dropping everything left and right today. I'm trying to pick it up. I'm like, all right, maybe 45 is too old. Maybe ignore everything we just said in that TED Talk. But yesterday we did the chests. We also did like the farmer carries. And so he's pushing me to go heavier than I've ever gone before, which is awesome. And I'm really feeling it today, right?
How much chest do you do on a chest day? Because I always do I always do like a full body thing. So like I bench press, do some shoulders, do some back, and then I guess I didn't do a ton of legs.
So we started with chest dips.
All right.
We did a bunch of those. Then we did pull ups, both front and backhand, like, oof. You know, and dude, we did them though in a way like you spot, so that like kind of helps.
Yeah,
which is funny because honestly, by the third set, like he's really just holding my knees and pulling me up, and like it's really a workout for him, like on his biceps, because I'm just hanging there. And he's like, go harder, like, eh. And he's doing
right. He's gonna do squats.
Yeah, he's basically getting the workout in. Not me. I'm just this limp 200-pound.
Get another band.
Pretty much. He's a human band for me. Then we just did incline, bench, dumbbells. But like warm up a little bit. And then he's like, grab whatever you think will be the heaviest that you could do with 12 set. And I'm like, all right, I think I could do this amount. And I get to like 8. And I'm like, help. It was fun though. Like, you know.
No, it is.
But like, he is ripped. He's a big dude. He's a great, you know, he's a big boy, right? So he's got muscles upon muscles. So like, he is used to just being a gym guy, you know, being loud, working out, grunting. Like, these are things I don't typically do at the gym. I'm trying to almost be like, you know, a quiet kid in the corner just working out while no one can see me, you know?
I'm just over here getting ripped. Ignore me. I'm just getting my pump on.
So at one point, I don't even know how much he had on. Like, it was like he was... he was doing like the Romanian deadlifts and then like the farmer's carry with like pretty much the heaviest possible dumbbells that are there, like 150 on each one or something ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Right. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to the other part of this dumbbell rack where they have numbers I can read. Like, there aren't even numbers on there. It doesn't even say how much it is. It just says a whole mess of weight, I guess. I don't know.
It's all of it.
Right. It's like, do not try. They might as well just say on that. And he's doing it, right? And then he's done. He just goes, and drops them. And I was like, it was invigorating because I'm like, I've never been that person to be around anyone that's dropping weights. Like, you typically, I don't know about you. I'm like, oh, there's the guy dropping the weights. But now I got to witness it firsthand, guy dropping the weights. I'm like, yeah, you did it, bro.
I just picture each other like you just did, just like slapping each other like in the chest and like the plexus.
Oh, no, we high fived and stuff like, oh. Then at the end of it, he goes up to some girl. He's like, hey, could you get a picture of us? She's like, sure thing. Like, this is a whole world I don't do. You know what I mean?
And then did you guys pull the Hulk Hogan and just rip your shirts off? No,
he puts the arm out so we can flex and like shake our hands.
Yeah.
And like, ugh. And of course, I'm smiling and he's got the serious look and the lady's just laughing. I took the picture like, one of you looks serious and the other one doesn't. I'm like, that's me. I'm the gym bro.
Dude, the coach.
The happy gym bro.
The football coach who's back there now, Phil McGregor, he would always come down to the weight room every once in a while and just bench press 100-pound dumbbells. Just, I always thought of it like a mental thing, like, hey, remember, coach is working out too.
See, I try when I remember one time I did like, I think 60 pounds on each one, right? And right. I was like, okay, this is going to be like, this is a good challenge for me because I can like do 50 just fine.
Yeah.
And you do the whole thing where you put it on your knees. And you sit down, you pop it up, and you go, I did it. I like went a little too aggressive on my left side, and I started tilting. And it took everything in my power to get back. I almost tipped over on the bench. I'm like, this will be the most embarrassing thing. And I go up and just tipped on the over. Freaking bench. I don't know how dudes do 100 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, like anything else, I'm just like, yeah, I don't either. But I mean, I guess you just do it enough. But
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that was 1998. I'm still talking about Coach going down there, right. Repping those men, repping them out. So
I see some of my like wrestling buddies. There's a guy Hammerstone that I know that comes to town from time to time, and he'll post like things that he does to work out, and it's just like, yeah, he's like curling 100 pounds. Like, nah, like it's insane.
One thing I do like about real like. I don't know. Like, I feel like the new age gym bro, though, like, it doesn't matter if you're curling 15, 20 pounds or whatever. They're just happy to see you in there curling.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like back in the day, it used to be more intimidating.
It's a lot more like alpha male, machismo. Yeah. I'm sure that's still there a little bit. But, like, even in the situation with my buddy Damon, like, I basically saw whatever he did, and I was like, oh, I'll just try to do half of that. Like, that was kind of, like, my mentality.
Yeah.
And, like, even when we were doing the squat bench or the squat rack and just doing, like, all that, I was like, hey, man, I don't want to slow you down because every time he did, like, 300 pounds on the squats, and I did, like, 70. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, something stupid. Like, because he just wanted to make sure I got my form right. So he's like, I don't want to push you weight-wise yet. Like, let's just get the form right.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the thing.
But, like, every time I'm, like, pulling every single thing off. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. He goes, no, man, I don't mind. He's like, honestly, I'd rather work out with someone who's not as strong as me. Because when I work out with someone who's stronger than me, I feel bad for that same reason. And I'm like, okay, good. Well, I'm not as strong as you, so this is perfect.
Also, the other one I love too is like squats is like one thing I can do pretty decent. Uh-huh. But when you get up to like a certain enough weight, it's like, all right, let's throw these 2.5s on each side. And your head just like, bitch ass 2.5s. That's going to make a difference. It's like, oh God. Oh, like I'm going to get stuck down here.
It's awesome.
Right?
Well, it's trippy because like I were talking like, and we'll take a break in a second. On Facebook, I see the memories thing pops up, and it shows a memory from 13 years ago, and it shows a picture of me, and I showed it to you, Ted, and it's just like, man, like, you don't think about it, because, like, every, you know, I'm just living my life trying to just get by, and, like, some days are better than others as far as, like, how I view how my body's looking and, like, where I feel like I'm at fitness-wise, and I see this picture of me that is legitimately close to 100 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Like, about 280, and I'm around, like, just, I think... Depending, well, after that double whopper, maybe I'm right around 200 now.
It's just the salt, man.
Yeah, it's true.
You'll sweat that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll sweat out later.
It's too much sodium. You're just keeping it in.
But it's like crazy to think. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe I'm not like, I'm not where like I could be if I was better at my eating and diet and this, that, and the other thing. But man, I'm in a lot better spot than I was 13 years ago. And here I am in my 40s. And I'm with you, man. Like, my 40s are better than my 30s.
Yeah. And easily. It's weird because it's not, and none of this is quick process. Also, like, photos are important.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you want to take, it's like the scale. You don't want to be taking photos every day, but it is, it gives you that contrast because you see yourself every day. So it's very hard to tell.
Yeah.
Same with like people that know you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's hard to be like, oh yeah, because you're losing a pound here or there.
You see them every day. Yeah. It's hard to see. Yeah. The other day I saw someone, one of my buddies, he's looking at me, goes, I've been working out. And it's like that thing where I'm like, yes, I have, but I don't want to be that guy like, yeah.
You want to feel my muscle?
Of course. Can't you tell? You know?
Who's our wrestling? He comes to all your shows. God, I'm trying to think of his name. I see him on doing the DDP.
Myron.
Yeah.
Part of the Defiance, part of the streamer club back in the day. He's a big fan of Defy Wrestling and other wrestling as well, of course. He hit a point where he was just unhappy with his weight. Started doing DDP yoga. And man, he's crushing it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw it the other day. I was like, man, good for him.
He looks great. Like, when you see like that before, like his first picture to where he's at right now, it's so cool. It's so inspiring when you see that kind of stuff. And it's just from doing his yoga.
Yeah.
I'm sure eating better and all that kind of stuff as well. But, that yoga, the DDP yoga, I haven't done it recently, but like when I've done it, you do notice differences. Like in just your mobility and for a lot of people, losing weight.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's another thing too. It's just fun, the stuff that like you thought you could never do. Mm-hmm. Like just, I don't know, like even if it's just like a somewhat foot wall, like being able to be like, no, I'm strong enough to use my arms, jump and get over this thing.
Well, even like doing like a couple pull-ups, like I got a couple of them done
I haven't done one. This is supposed to be the year.
Dude, I hate pull-ups. Like I really hate pull-ups, but I get the benefit of it for because it hits a lot of parts of your body. But man, I get like two or three in and I'm like, I'm good. Unless I got my buddy Damon pushing me up. Then I got 10 in me.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. If I had Damon, I'd have one.
Yeah. Oh, you'd have at least 10.
Damon, you got me?
Just keep pushing me up, man. Help me out. Come on, bro. You're my spotter. All right. Why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, I don't know what the hell we'll do. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. I mean, we're broing out. Let's talk raw, like, you know, I don't know.
Supplements.
Supplements. Unsalted chicken breast.
The benefits of that Himalayan salt.
I still don't know if that works, but I use it. Somebody said, oh, you got the fancy white guy salt.
It was like last week's episode. You killed me on that. And I was like doing something and playing it for somebody, or I was playing something and someone walked in and they heard that part. That it was Rev. He heard that part and he just started cracking up. He's like, yeah, I guess it kind of is.
Right.
Oh, I had the coolest thing ever happen to me. As a sports guy, I think you'll appreciate it.
All right.
And it happened yesterday on the BJ and Migs show, and it has to do with hockey. It has to do with the Seattle Kraken, and I can't wait to play it for you.
Oh.
When the MegaCast returns.
God damn it, you teased me.
Gotcha.
I'd rather drink hand sanitizer than listen to these two dorks. The MegaCast will be back.
Now with COVID-19 still infecting millions of people and autumn right around the corner, get ready for new Pumpkin Spice Remdesivir, Pumpkin Spice Dexamethasone, and Pumpkin Spice Hydroxychloroquine. These drugs are infused with the perfect blend of cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, and cloves. COVID-19 treatments now with Pumpkin Spice. Ventilators and ICUs never smelled so good. And coming soon, Pumpkin Spice flavored Q-tip test swabs. New from Johnson & Johnson.
Oh,
both of these guys should be wearing a mask, not because of the coronavirus, but because I am sick of their faces. The MegaCast is back.
What do you want for dinner? I don't care.
Right? I don't care. Whatever you want to have for dinner.
Oh, late night.
So, Ted, I don't know if you've heard, but there's a hockey team coming to the Northwest called the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, I've heard something about it.
It's gotten, the addiction for me has gotten bad. Like, there's no chance that they're my number two team. Sorry, Devils.
Yeah, the Devils are done.
It's embarrassing how much gear I already have for the Seattle Kraken.
By the way, real quick.
Yes.
Maybe the Capitals should have kept Barry Trotz.
You think?
Jesus Christ.
Holy, dude, honestly, I think it's going to be an Islanders, Vegas Golden Knights finals.
Yeah, I mean, right, the Caps won a Stanley Cup, didn't keep the coach.
Didn't think they needed to keep him.
Right, and then they've had two first-round exits. They got absolutely smashed by the Islanders, who he now coaches.
Right, and he's killing, and dude, who's the general manager for them? Lou Lamoriello, or president, Lou Lamoriello, former Devils guy. Freaking Islanders. And then they got Matt Barzell, you know, from the T-Birds. He's killing it on that team.
Where do the Islanders even play?
You know, dude, it's scary. I'm not sure. Well, this year, obviously, they're in the hub. But before that, they were bouncing back and forth between Brooklyn and Long Island.
I was like, they still play out on Long Island, right?
Both. Jeez. They would do Barclays and Long Island. I think they're now going to just be in Long Island because they realized the Barclays thing wasn't working. That arena was not meant for hockey. Like, made just like how the key was made specifically so that sight lines would be obstructed so you could not have hockey games there, like pro hockey.
I didn't know that.
Barclays, there are seats in the arena where you do not see all of the ice.
Right, because like, it's just for hoops and, like, concerts.
Right, so it's like those are, like, your discounted tickets, which probably still cost $80 or something like that in gentrified Brooklyn, New York. But, yeah, it's crazy, dude. Like, if I'm a fan of the Islanders, and like, I'm like, I'm not going to be a season ticket holder. Hey, I looked at the prices with the Seattle Kraken. There's no chance I could have been a season ticket holder, man. I would have had to have like dipped into my 401k. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, hockey gets a little expensive.
It's nuts, dude. Like, I mean, I get it. $100 ticket, that seems to be the norm right now for like a decent ticket. And I mean, maybe a little bit more these days. But when you add it up with 40 games, preseason games, and if you want to get a pair for you and like your significant other, you're dropping like $40,000 or $20,000-$30,000 on tickets.
Yeah, and like I already have Sounders tickets, right? And I miss some of those games. So I'm like, there's no way I'm going, right? There's no way I'm going to 80. Right. Yeah. So 40 and 40, like I'm not going to, or 60 some sporting event. I mean, I might, but I got to sprinkle it out with other sports.
Absolutely.
I was like, there's no chance I'd make all those hockey games. I think when they start up, the traffic will be bad and some people are going to get. Well, if they had a friend that lived in the city, he'd sure use a ticket.
That's a good point. Hey, you could park by my place. Man, like, yeah, right now, kind of wish I still lived in Queen Anne.
Oh, you'd be the man.
Free. I have a parking spot and everything. Those are the days. Just walk to the key. That would be a bad thing. I'd just be drunk at every hockey game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I couldn't. Like, I'm hoping maybe like, I have some buddies that got tickets and their plan is to break them up and like sell some to their buddies and stuff just so that they can, you know, have season tickets, but not like make much of a profit. But, you know, they can't afford to go to every game. It's just,
no, and
it's
that's standard. Like whatever the sport is, if somebody's like, I'll sell you a ticket for face. Like, cool.
My only goal, I need to figure out a way to ensure that I'm going to the home opener. I honestly doubt it's going to happen. I got some buddies there, but I'm not that kind of guy to ask for those kind of favors. I might, you know, try and see, but I'll be quick to be like, don't feel bad if you can't help me at all. You know what I mean? Like, but I want to buy them. I'm not like trying to get freebies. I hope I could go to the home opener and I hope I could bring my wife as well. That'd be kind of a cool moment for us to get to enjoy the very first game. And it's important to me, but I can understand if it doesn't happen. But man, I have so much gear. It's ridiculous. I got out of my car this morning and I looked in the reflection of my Jeep, which already has the white like silhouette decal of the Seattle Kraken logo on the back. And I'm looking in the reflection with that decal also in my eyesight. And I've got the alternate, the anchor logo t-shirt wearing it right now that I got at the Kraken store yesterday. I've got this sweet Kraken cap that I got at the store yesterday.
That hat is dope.
Oh, it's the coolest hat I think I own now.
Yeah.
I love it. I love where they put the logo in the bottom corner and it's just, it's all white with a really dark blue, almost looks black. So it's like just real clean. Got that. I have a Kraken face mask on. I'm like, I'm out of my mind, Ted. I was like riding high yesterday because we talked to Everett Fitzhugh, who is the voice now of the Seattle Kraken.
All right.
I don't know if you heard his story. He used to work in like minor league Cincinnati on the Cyclones. Not only was the play-by-play guy there, but he was like doing everything behind the scenes, marketing, promotion.
Sure. He was the marketing department.
Right.
Like and promotions, whatever.
He was did all it all. That. Right. Yeah. And then on top of it also was the voice play-by-play guy. He gets hired by the Kraken. They don't even have a TV deal yet, a radio deal. They don't know if they're putting him on the radio yet or the TV or both, but they just want to make it clear. This is our guy. He is going to be the voice of the Kraken. And it was big news in hockey, which is typically not a sport of color. And here is a man. He's the very first black play-by-play guy in the NHL history.
Nice.
Unless someone swoops in next season, which would be kind of like funny if all of a sudden someone's like, beat you to it. Could you imagine that? Yeah, all this like great, like...
out of spite.
Historic, yeah, right. It'd be Vancouver. I could see them doing that.
Right.
Those jerks. Or Vegas. We got to start these rivalries, Ted. Well, anyways, it's a really cool thing. And I mean, like, we talked to him on the show. He was like, yeah, dude, like... he understands how important that is. Representation is important, and it's a big deal to him. But he also knows, like, talking with the team, that, like, you know, like, you got hired because you were the best person for the job. Like, it's great that you are a person of color, but, like, this is, you are our guy, and we want to make sure you know that you're our guy. And it's a great whole feel-good story thing. But while we had him on,
all right,
I had to put him to the test. Because once we start talking to him, he's a cool guy. Like, he just seems like a fun guy. I'd love to get him on the podcast once, like, he's situated here in Seattle. He still hasn't fully moved in. And I was like, I don't know if you know this, but I was asked by the owners, Jerry Bruckheimer and Tim Leiwicki, to be the backup to the backup to the backup goalie. You know, like the third stringer.
Yeah. And the emergency for the emergency. Yeah,
you're right. I'm the emergency goalie. So I said, you know, we need to get you ready to call the games. So what better way than to call maybe a big save by your first pick for your Seattle Kraken, number 40, Steve Meigs. And he did
it. Awesome. Awesome.
And I believe this whole setup has like him, he had some fun with it. So he created a whole alternate reality where Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby are on the same team.
Oh, here?
No, they're coming down the ice trying to score on
Jesus.
Me against the Kraken's goalie, Steve Meigs. And here's how it sounded.
I got to put you to the test then,
because okay.
You know we had Tim Leiwicki and Jerry Bruckheimer in studio when the first day starting to get drum up interest and get ticket sales and get the
yeah.
They offered me the spot of being the backup to the backup to the backup to the practice goalie. It's an exclusive company that I'm a part
very
of.
Very prestigious.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I figured this is a good way for you to practice maybe announcing that I made a big save, and we could have like a moment where you could just kind of give a little play by play of me, Steve Meigs, your number 40 for your Seattle Kraken, making a big save out there.
So what he's saying is he wants you to practice fiction, is what he's saying, Everett.
All right, I could do that. So you know what, I'm going to go to a fictional world where Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby are on the same team together.
Nice.
This is just unbelievable. Coming up the ice on a 2-on-1, and the defenseman got beat. So it's a 2-on-0, and you're the last line of defense.
Can it be PK Subban as my defenseman because he's my favorite player?
You want PK?
Yes.
I'm gonna see if I can get this right here. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Ovechkin up the near wing side. He's got Crosby with him. PK Subban blows a tire at the line. 2-on-0. Ovechkin across to Subban. He shoots for a save by Meigs.
Wow. I have goosebumps.
That is awesome.
I believe that actually could happen now.
It could happen.
It's funny on Twitter. Everett was just like, damn it, I screwed it up. I said he passed it to Subban. I'm like, dude, it's totally fine. I am not going to criticize that. That made my life. I'm going to save that forever, Ted.
Yeah, man. I have one of Arlo White in the studio years ago calling my boxing match.
Dude, how awesome. I remember that.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Because as a big soccer fan, so you get it. Like, that's like just to have the voice of something that you're a fan of. I mean, granted, I haven't heard Everett really. I've heard some clips of him, but it's just a matter of time before he becomes my favorite voice because he's doing the play-by-play for the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah.
To have him just even say my name in like a professional play-by-play thing was cool. It's like, I remember hearing that with you and Arlo, and I was like, that's sick.
I like where his head's at, too, as long as it's fantasy.
Right. I know one guy on Instagram was just like, wait a second. So they blew past Subban, but then Subban turned around and then shot on you? I'm confused. And I'm like, well, it's very clear that he got traded mid-shift to the other team. I mean,
the guy doesn't know the rules. The rules have updated.
Right, right. That's just how it is. Now in the bubble, they can do that.
Yeah, you could do that on NHL 99. Where's he from?
He, I think, was originally from Detroit.
All right.
And then obviously spent a lot of time in Cincinnati with the Cyclones. And then now here he is in Seattle, going to be doing something
I mean, it's going to be exciting to see what the broadcast team is going to be. Like, are they going to try and find, because obviously a lot of times you get an analyst that was a former NHLer. Will they look internally in the sense of like finding somebody that like lives in the area, or will they just like try and find like, you know, some dude that's potentially got like a lot of promise to be a really cool analyst that they bring in from outside of here?
Yeah. Do you think sport's going to keep going that way? I don't know. Like, it used to be back in the day, you had a play-by-play guy and then like the color guy, right? Like the analyst.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always a pro athlete.
Now, that's true.
Like, I don't know. I wonder if that pendulum will swing back.
I feel like
sometimes I just feel like I shouldn't say that. During the broadcast is a different thing, but sometimes you hear ex-athletes like talking about stuff and it's like, man, that's way too inside for the average sports fan.
There are times where I've like listened to certain athletes and you're just like, okay, like, can you just get someone that knows the game and have them analyze things? They don't have to be. I would like to know that maybe they played the sport at some point so they understand the sport. But like, I'm okay with somebody that didn't spend 15 years in the sport, maybe had a couple too many concussions and are just babbling about stuff that I really don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right? So when you think about some of the greatest sports broadcasters, like Marv Albert is like the voice of basketball, mm-hmm. or was for years. Like, wait, how tall is he? 5'5"? Like,
right.
I don't think he was ever like hooping hard up at Rucker Park or nothing.
No, he just loves the sport.
Yeah.
And he knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what's going to happen, man. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is crazy watching a franchise start. I mean, that's part of the thing that made the Sounders so much fun.
Yeah.
Not the franchise started, but like going up to MLS level and stuff.
It's a whole, yeah.
Watching it, how it comes together back in 09.
Well, even he said, like, he's heard from a lot of people from the Vegas organization, and they're all telling him, dude, it's going to be the hardest thing in the world. Like, this is the hardest work you will do than any other like franchise like that's already established, because you're building a foundation. But he's like, but because of that, it's the most fun and the most rewarding, and you're going to be so happy and so proud of the accomplishments. And he's you could just tell right now, dude, I walked around. Sid and I went to Ruston Way in Tacoma. Like, they have like a nice walkway.
Oh, I'm quite familiar with it.
Oh, it's all. Have you been to the newer part?
No, I've just been down there to go to some of the restaurants.
Oh, now you go a little bit further, and it's like, it's like, it almost feels like one of those like boardwalk kind of things. Like in like, you know, we have them in like New York, Coney Island.
I was gonna say, yeah, like right, East Coast beaches.
A fish place that you could walk up to and just get like fish and chips, and they have a bunch of restaurants you could go and sit inside or sit outside. Ice cream. People are walking around. They got the stupid little like little cars that are bicycles, like where everyone sits in them.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, boardwalk stuff.
Yes. We should do that together and just do boardwalk stuff together.
Oh yeah.
I'd be in for that.
100% in. They got funnel cakes?
I don't know if they do, but hey, we get ice cream.
Right. I just revert back. I'm like, so they got like a French fry place that we got to wait in line in, a funnel cake. Also,
it's not that boardwalky, but it's got that vibe.
I always just tell people, like, at least in Maryland, I'm sure it's the same way on the New York or Jersey Shore, like, it is hot and oppressive. But yet you wait in line for Thrasher's French fries and you're just like dripping sweat eating them.
Right.
And then the other thing is like, oh, let's get a piping hot funnel cake.
Yeah. Why not? Well, anyways, so yeah, we're walking around. There's like 5 to 10 Kraken shirts that I see. And it's like, we didn't see a ton of people, but like, I'm like, another Kraken. And it was like, talk to one person, like, yeah, I don't even know hockey. I'm just excited that we have a team now.
Yeah.
And I think that's so freaking cool.
Yeah, man. I've seen a bunch of people wearing the shirts. And I see people posting, like, whenever there's a drop at Costco. It's like, Costco over in Issaquah's got it.
Yep. And they keep changing the they have originally at Costco, they just had the basic S logo. Now they have ones that say Seattle Kraken.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're just stepping it up. Dropped 140 yesterday at the Kraken store.
Yeah, that makes, well, that's why I was like, the official stuff's always, the price is going to go up.
You know, I mean, the hat was like 30, which I was actually pleasantly surprised these days. I don't agree with hats being more than 30 bucks, but I've seen that happen in some places, so that was cool. Got my wife a new shirt, got this shirt, and then I got little Tatum.
I was going to say,
a onesie.
I was going to say a onesie, right?
It's like baby's first puck or something like that. It says on, no, it doesn't say that. That sounds weird.
Baby don't give a puck?
Yeah. Puck off dad. I think that's what it is. I'm trying to sleep. You mentioned French fries. Did you come across this website came up with a list of the most popular French fries in every state across the United States?
Oh, I don't know if I've read that one yet.
It's a company called Spruce, and they did the whole Google Trends thing.
Well, I'm against that company. You know I'm a fur guy. Never buy a Spruce.
Well, you know what?
That's a Christmas tree joke.
I'm just going to take this list. So yeah, they go through it all based on like a bunch of different fast food chains and looked into like, you know, like the popularity of the fries, whether they're like curly waffle, and just delved into like the state's love for French fries. So for instance, oddly enough, Taco Bell was very popular with a lot of states. Like Alabama, Arkansas.
I've not had the Taco Bell fry.
I have Missouri, it looks like, or Mississippi. Which one's MS? Missouri or Mississippi? Mississippi. Right? Because MI is Missouri.
Yeah.
Sure.
MS is Mississippi. I don't know what Missouri is.
Wyoming, West Virginia.
So is it fast food joints or just fry overall?
Fast food chains, French fries.
All right. So to me, McDonald's is always going to be the classic.
Very popular.
French fry. But I would go Checkers, or in some parts they're called Rallies. They have like seasoned fries.
Checkers was popular. It says Checkers / Rallies in Georgia.
Yeah.
Bojangles, never had it.
Oh, Bojangles is great, man. And they got really good biscuits.
Okay. So what kind of fries do you like? You said McDonald's. Are you a fan of like the firm crispy ones? Or I'm a big fan of like Dick's, but they're limp, greasy ones.
Dick's just aren't my favorite.
I know. It's very polarizing.
Because even when we went, right? Like I had some of your fries, but I just got like three burgers.
You got three burgers. I got two burgers and two fries.
Right. I like it a little crisper. I think the seasoned fry overall is what I take.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, McDonald's are pretty good. Man, I like French fries in general.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I love how some people are like, I hate Burger King fries. I'm like, I don't know when's the last time you had Burger King fries. I had them last night, and they were delicious.
Yeah, I hate on crinkle cut, just because when I was growing up.
Oh, like Nathan's?
Okay, hear me out.
Okay.
But when I was growing up, like, we would just always cook those, like, in the oven, and they sucked.
Yeah, it's like.
And it reminds me of, like, being in a school cafeteria. But you're right. When I first time I, like, drove up to New York and stuff, Nathan's is famous for the crinkle
cut. And they're so good.
And the red fork.
The red fork, right? Yeah. And because then you got that squirt of ketchup. Perfect. So your hands will get out.
I wish people could have seen Steve's face. It was like I personally attacked his family.
I love crinkle cut fries. But no, you're right, because for us, it wasn't mostly crinkle cut, although sometimes we'd have those at home. It was like the steak fries, and they were kind of trashy.
Yeah.
But like then I'll go to Red Robin, and the steak fries are amazing.
Yeah. God damn it. It depends on what you're eating, which fry.
Basically, it means if you eat them at home, they suck. And if you eat them at a fast food place, they're usually pretty good.
Yeah. They've gotten better in the oven, but yeah, I don't know. For whatever reason, crinkle cut just reminds me of being a kid. Maybe I didn't cook them long enough. It's like, yeah, they're kind of soft.
Number one for Washington. I don't know if I agree with this one because I've had it and they're fine, but I would not go to Dairy Queen just to get the French fries.
Yeah, I haven't been to a DQ in a minute, so I can't comment. But I feel like DQ is underrated on its fast food.
Yeah.
It's not just blizzards anymore, boys.
That's true. But the blizzards are definitely the dominant thing there, boys.
What was number one in Maryland?
Oh, yeah. Maryland is what, MD?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Thereafter. Ooh, interesting. Popeyes.
Oh, Popeyes fries are great, man. Those Cajun fries. Seasoned fry.
I haven't had the Cajun fries.
Oh, don't sleep, man. Popeyes is great. I think they have better biscuits and their French fries are strong.
You know who else has good ones? Was it Steak and Shake or Shake Shack?
Yeah.
I always forget which one is which.
I never grew up with either of them.
Shake Shack. Okay. I only know that one because we would go, like, when we've gone to Vegas, we've stopped at Shake Shack. And I remember thinking that their fries were pretty awesome.
All right.
Yeah. I'm not seeing Jack in the Box on here at all.
Which is weird. They got curly fries are great too. Like Arby's curly fries or
Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one that I feel like Jack in the Box likes to mess with you. You get the great French, they get the French fries and they always throw one curly fry in there.
Yeah. Well, that's like Burger King back in the day. Well, you know Burger King.
The one onion ring.
The one onion ring that show up in your fry box.
I think it's a company ploy. It's like, like people don't realize how awesome our onion rings are. I throw one in their bag. They'll come back. They'll want more. And typically, I'll get like French fries at Jack in the Box. I'll have that one curly fry. I'm like, next time I'm ordering them with the curly fries. They're so good.
Oh, if I go to Jack in the Box, it's always curly fries.
And now they make it a point. When you order, they'll be like, do you want the curly fries? I'm like, yes, I almost forgot. Thank you. This is a stoner conversation.
I was going to say, right? I mean, this actually, I don't know if you'd say this is a stoner one, but we started with like 15 minutes talking about lifting and working out. And you can tell we're just hungry now. You know what? Screw it. I'll take any fry. Just give me a fry.
All the fries. I want all the fries in my belly.
All right. As long as we're into the minutiae. So do you go fries or onion rings
fries.
If you have the option?
All the time. 100 times out of 100, I'm getting french fries over onion rings.
All right. I would say
I'll eat someone's onion ring, but I don't want to get a whole thing of onion rings.
See, I think if I'm at Red Mill, I'm going onion ring.
They are good onion rings. I just don't know if I could eat an entire basket, like an entire little, like whatever, container of onion rings.
That's true.
Onion rings are like a perfect thing. Like if there's a, like two or three of us at a table, get an order and we each pick at it.
All right. Well, yeah, Tower of Onion Ring. You know, we're just setting up a Red Robin trip.
That's true. Or Outback Steakhouse, and we get the Bloomin' Onion.
The Bloomin' Onion, mate. Yeah, classic Australian.
All right, we should go. I'm hungry.
All right.
I already had teriyaki today.
Oh, hey, I'm not going to be here next week.
Right.
Yeah.
So no technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Don't email us. Don't text us. We're not on next week.
It's funny, we're talking about all this food. I'm like, this time next week, I'm like, I'm gonna eat some crab cakes. I'm gonna eat some Old Bay chicken wings.
You're in Maryland, I take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking this morning about certain foods you don't eat just because it, you know, it's just something about it. And we ended up talking about soft shell crab. And BJ did not realize that soft shell crab actually means you are eating the shell.
Oh, yeah, that little guy's fried up, man. He should be on in between a couple pieces of white bread, and his legs are hanging out.
I showed him a picture of that, and it terrified him.
Oh, he's I love him.
He's like, no. I'm like, dude, I'm with you. I've never eaten one because of that. Like, it's just
You've never had one?
I've never had soft-shell crab.
Steve.
It just seems so weird. Good. I feel like I'm eating a giant tarantula.
Yeah, so? You never got a spider roll with one of his legs hanging out?
No, I don't get the spider roll.
No way. Yeah. Dude, you're a bro now. You got to like eat, demolish that little crab.
Man. Is that part of the bro culture?
I guess not. It just feels manly. Look, as a kid, it would freak me out.
So it's just like the arms are like hanging in the sandwich and you're just biting into it?
Yeah. All right. So people,
what do you eat first? Do you work bread in first or do you bite off the little legs that are hanging off the sandwich?
You know, go sandwich to sandwich. Because if it's like a soft shell po' boy where he's in like the French bread, then he's kind of contained in there.
I could do that.
The place we used to go, he was just in like, I don't know. Like, well, it's got to be a he. You don't eat female blue crabs, by the way.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If it's got three stripes across its belly, that means it's a female. That's just you never eat the females because you want more crabs the next year.
But what if it's deep fried and I don't know?
That's a good point. You wouldn't. But either way, in between white bread, maybe a couple pieces of shredded lettuce and like a little tartar or a little mayonnaise.
Huh.
Yeah. And in Maryland, everybody gets fired up because I want to say it's in the fall when they malt or something. And I remember my dad, we would drive to one place over in like, I don't know, Chevrolet or some crazy place. But you had to get that soft shell sandwich.
So what is it like? Does it taste weird? Does the shell taste weird when you bite into it?
No, because he's out of his shell. Right? He's molting. So he's like abandoned his shell.
Oh!
And he's like crawling around.
So I didn't even know what molting means. I'm sorry.
I hope I'm saying that right.
You know what? You're saying it right to me because I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah. So he's like looking for a new shell or growing a new one. You catch him
then. Would you go to the shell store? The shell station?
Well, there is a shell store for crabs right outside in Bikini Bottom.
Oh, with SpongeBob, right? Yeah.
Why would you hear Patrick's getting a spinoff? Good for him.
So if he's looking for a shell, is there like a shell that he like goes and finds and throws it on him like a coat?
I'm not positive about the process. I just know.
Or does it grow into him?
I don't know if he grows a new one or he's looking for one. I just know for a period, he doesn't have the hard shell. So when you fry
it. Is it like a dead crab that he grabs that person's shell and puts it on? Like,
look, I don't know. I don't know what.
I need
answers. I don't know what Missouri is. I don't. All right.
I know you gotta go. Eat. I know. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just starving now. I'm like, damn.
I'm willing to eat one right now. I tell you that.
Oh, yeah. We'll get one time. We'll get one. I know a Cajun place in town that has them as po' boys.
Okay, now that I know that I'm not actually biting into a shell.
Oh no, it's super. I mean, it's like eating a, I don't know, like a little piece of calamari, but it's not even that texture. It's softer, but yet it tastes like crab.
Dude, this whole time I thought you had to like crunch through a shell.
Oh no!
Like obviously a soft shell, so not like, you know, like a Dungeness shell. Like, I didn't think you're gonna break your teeth, but I thought you get like a weird crunch and like have to like bite and like kind of crunch down like the shell and. I don't know why I had this in my head. I'm such an idiot.
That's all right. We're going to get a bunch of emails. You're right. It is soft shell. He's amazing. I don't know if he's looking for a new shell. Either way, it's just a certain period where he's not hard. It is in the hard shell.
So it's not in the mornings is what you're saying.
It's about six beers and three whiskeys deep. Oh, that crab's drunk. Soft shell.
It's a shell that did a lot of blow. All right, maybe we should have only done a 5-minute episode this week. All right, we'll be back in 2 weeks then.
Correct.
Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate all the messages last week. We joke, but man, it means a lot knowing like that many people are waiting for this episode to drop, that when it drops and they're like, what the hell? That's like a real cool thing that makes this. I mean, it feels good knowing that like people give a crap about what we're doing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at the Megacast, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, eating soft shells.
I'm in now. Eat that fat.